Till death do us part does not apply to a ghost marriage. In our latest podcast episode, we explore the ancient practice of ghost brides and weddings, and why, if you ever see an ang pao on the ground, just walk away.
Supernatural.
Is anyone here? Can you please give us a sign?
Supernatural. Confessions.
All right, welcome back to Supernatural Confessions. My name is Tim O, joined once again by Eugene Tay. How are you doing today, Eugene?
Doing very good, Tim.
All right.
In fact, I just caught a couple episodes of Ghost Bride today.
Ah, and we both have some comments about it. I'm going to be very upfront. These comments you might hear about Ghost Bride may not be all that positive, okay? But, you know, we're halfway through Chinese New Year already. How's the CNY treating you?
Not too bad, you know. Like I mentioned, a lot of ampao giving, not much ampao receiving, so
yeah,
deficit.
And, of course, in the last episode, we talked about some of the myths and legends, superstitions. When it came to Chinese New Year, have been talking about the Nian monster and the Sui demon to all your relatives?
No one believed me, lah. They say, hey, choy, 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 don't say, now Chinese New Year is so bad, lah. I said, that's the origins of Chinese New Year, what are you talking about?
And that's why we're going to give you nothing but coins inside your red packets, yeah, to keep away the Sui demon.
No one bought that.
But of course, you know, someone did reach out to us with a bit of a fan request, wanted us to cover a specific topic. But before we get into that, once again, let's get all the mumbo jumbo out of the way. Let's tell you all about Supernatural Confessions and how you can reach us.
The best way to get all your info on Supernatural Confessions is through our website at supernaturalconfessions.com. There you'll find ways you can listen to our podcast, you can look at our YouTube videos, if you want to even get your fortune read by our resident tarot reader, or even get my book called Supernatural Confessions, it's all there. It will even link you up to Facebook, Instagram, and all the other podcast channels. So supernaturalconfessions.com is the place to go.
And of course, Eugene has been arranging some meetups as well. I know last week there was a little something happening over at Fort Canning.
Yeah, so Zoe came back, and the first time she actually started her spiritual career with tarot reading was with us. Mm-hmm. At a live reading on our Facebook. Honestly, we didn't expect more than, say, 5 to 10 people logging in to check it out.
Yeah.
Right? But as things would have it, we had more requests that we could handle. And from that day on, she started really practicing, answering questions, and she got more and more accurate. And before she knows it, like, she's been 6 months with us now, and she's doing this almost on a daily basis.
All right. So who was at Fort Canning last week?
We had Murali, who's one of our spiritual practitioners himself. Mm-hmm. A new girl, a couple of new faces we have never met before. We don't even know that they are lurking online. Yeah, one of them is Magez, M-A-G-E-S. You know, like Magus, but it's known as Magez. Mm. And the other lady is Catherine Ng, who I've known her from blockchain industry, nothing to do with supernatural at all. And then she called up and said, hey, I know there's this spiritual mini retreat gathering coming up, can I come? I'm like, yeah, sure. So we were all sitting around in a circle with Kendall. We were talking about, you know, tarot reading, what is it about, and three lucky participants get their fortune read. And it's a nice place, very cooling.
And of course, that just brings us back to the fact that Supernatural Confessions, we're not just about podcasts, we're not just about, you know, a website or a Facebook page, we're also about building a community as well for people to share their experiences and a chance for like-minded people to get together as well.
Speaking of sharing of experiences, there's something that I want to give you guys a sneak peek. And this is in collaboration with Jonathan Lim. You remember the guy who we interviewed some months back?
Yeah, talking about how ghosts and monsters and superstitions are sometimes used to police social behavior.
Yes. So we were sitting down having supper one day, and he said, you know, the tradition of storytelling, ghost stories, is gone. It's so watered down these days by bad movies and directors who can't make up their mind whether they want to tell a ghost story or tell a love story. Let's bring this back. So he's going to spearhead something where we are getting people, maybe members of our social media group, to come into a room and share their ghost stories.
But
with a twist, we're going to adopt some of the Japan culture. and it's going to be one person, one candle in a room. Every time you finish telling the ghost story, you blow out the candle.
Oh, so as we go from one person to another sharing stories, it gets darker and darker.
Yes.
Is something supposed to happen when the room goes completely dark?
In the Japanese culture, you're supposed to look into the mirror, and when the last candle is blown out, you can see something in the mirror.
Well, sometimes our own reflections can be scarier than anything else, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we certainly look forward to hearing more on that as it approaches. Of course, you can find out all the details once again over on our Facebook page. Just search for Supernatural Confessions, either the main page or the closed group, or you can also go to our portal, www.supernaturalconfessions.com. All right. And by the way, speaking of our Facebook page, that's exactly how someone reached out to us, all right, with a bit of a request for us to cover ghost brides in one of our particular episodes. And tonight, Eugene will be explaining what a ghost bride is. But before we get into that, I think the reason why it was brought up to begin with is because Netflix released a Malaysian production recently called Ghost Bride. And we had a few Supernatural Confessions fans who, I guess, they kind of liked it. So Eugene and I decided, look, we got to give it a try as well. And I would say that I braved through one episode of it. How many did you catch?
One and a half.
Okay. So I tell you what, let me give you my review of it. Tell you a little bit about the synopsis, what it's about. And you can kind of tell me, you know, whether you agree, whether or not you think I'm being too harsh. Okay. So for those who are not in the know, haven't seen it yet, haven't even seen the trailer, the premise of Ghost Bride is that a girl gets approached to be a ghost bride, to marry some dead guy who is apparently murdered. Instead, she agrees to help him find out who murdered him, and only on the condition that the dead guy's ghost helps her to save her sick father. So immediately, you know, it's a bit of a drama going on, okay? A little bit more, this is set in 1890s Malacca, and the families that it revolves around are Peranakan. And immediately when I saw that, my spider sense went up, okay? Because, you know, Eugene and I, both being very Peranakan, we're very protective about how our culture is depicted, okay? And I'll tell you first and foremost what I liked about their Peranakan representation. It all comes down to one thing. The fact that they mentioned ayam ponte.
Ayam ponte.
Yeah, during a kitchen scene. And that's pretty much all I liked about our Peranakan representation in Ghost Bride. Now, I will say, I think a lot of the reason why I'm a little biased to the show is because of the language that they use, all right? The show only comes in two audio streams, one in Malaysian Mandarin and the other one in British English, okay? So when I say that, I mean, you imagine Dracula versus the Little Nonya. All right. Not other than that, there's not a single eh or mampus. And we all know that the Peranakan speak in Baba Malay or a mix of Chinese dialects. Okay, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, it's so painful just to hear them talk.
Yes. Ama, what do you think I should do? Oh, don't be silly, Li Mei. Once we meet him, then you will find that he's a very strapping young man. I couldn't. I felt like I was watching Sherlock Holmes, right? Or at least I was listening to Sherlock Holmes in my ear. Now, I will say that being a Netflix production, it had some very good production quality, okay? It was vibrant. The colors, the dancing, the cinematography. In fact, at certain parts, there were elements of Crazy Rich Asians, you know, when they're dancing around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But while the camera work and the costumes and the sets were stunning, someone forgot to tell the hair and makeup unit because the men's makeup is so bad and so white that I couldn't tell who was playing the human and who was playing the ghost. All right. And one of the main actors, all right, one of the main love interests, all I can say is he comes from the Piepeng school of eyebrows, all right, where he's got super thick eyebrows and his hair is damn toot, okay? The acting is also a little too OTT, all right, over the top. And I think I say that mainly because I can't figure out what kind of show this is supposed to be. Is it horror? Is it a thriller? Is it a murder mystery or romance or comedy? And you know what, Eugene? I'm not saying you can't have a little bit of everything, but the transitions are too harsh, okay? Because one moment, it's full of happy romance with soft lighting and chirpy birds, much on Snow White like that, you know? And then the next moment, it's got Channel 8 evil acting. You know where they give you the side eye and then you hit the...
yeah.
Right. And then you have the protagonist's best friend who looks like Selena Tan, right? For the comedy factor. And then she's got the funny background music when she talks.
Yeah. The background music sometimes just comes in at the wrong timing. It feels like, is this a horror show or a comedy show? Like, just one scene ago was a horror scene. Now it's like comedy.
I tell you, bro, I half expected the dim sum dollies to show up and burst into song, okay? And then suddenly come the horror effects. But we're not talking Ju-on horror, okay? I'm talking Stephen Chow Hong Kong horror. No, seriously. If I had to categorize it right, it's a romantic mystery dramedy with horror elements. The kind your mom will watch at home when Tanglin is not showing on Channel 5. Which once again is sad, because like I said, the production value is great. You know, the sets, the choreography, the cinematography. But with the acting and the direction, right, I cannot compare it to the stuff we see on Channel 8. Yeah. In fact, okay, it's like comparing OG to Tangs. And the sad thing is, I don't even like shopping at Tangs. Right. So I gotta say, I was a little disappointed, and that's why I couldn't bring myself to move on to the second episode.
I think Ghost Bride is as much a horror movie as Twilight is a vampire movie. You know, it's just a title. It's working around the premise of a ghost marriage. That's all.
Yeah.
For everything else, it's like a Channel 8 drama, you know? They want to show the comedy side. They want to have that human interaction. But I can forgive all that, because there is going to be a demographic who would appreciate that. So I can divorce myself away from this show and say that, yes, it's designed not for people like me.
It's designed for our moms.
Exactly. The aunties, our moms totally would love this. Where I was being critical about was how the horror was represented in the show. Like, that's what I do when I watch horror movies. Like, is this as close to what reality is? Right? I know it's a work of fiction, but within the work of fiction, there should be some thread of reality.
Exactly.
But when you have the antagonist come up and go, I will not tell you where your father is. And then does that finger across the neck thing to, you know, symbolize that he will die.
I'm like, dying.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. And the makeup is terrible, really. Like, the effects that they decided to use, almost downright insulting. And you know what? Actually, maybe they were right. Maybe this is a horror show, because this is a horror in directing a movie, right?
But it's based on a best-selling novel.
Okay. Well, you know what the best thing about a best-selling novel is? You can't watch a novel. And maybe it should have stayed that way, okay? So, you know, for everyone who has yet to see it and, you know, we've piqued your interest, you know, go check it out, all right? If you are Peranakan, once again, you watch at your own risk, okay? You might be very angry by the end of it. But give it a shot. And if you think maybe we're a little too harsh, you can tell us, all right? Tell us what you thought were the good things about the show.
So today's episode is dedicated to Jermaine, who's actually asking for this episode for us to cover on Ghost Bride, and we promise her we'll do it. So okay. Jermaine, this one is for you. Hopefully you enjoy it.
All right. So I guess the first question is, what is a ghost wedding? What is this whole practice of ghost brides?
Okay. The idea of ghost bride or ghost wedding is when two deceased spirits are joined together in a wedding. So it's like a ritual. Okay. Or one of the party is dead and the other one is alive. They go through a ritual to marry them. Mm. Okay, so that is the premise of a ghost marriage.
Okay.
And it sounds morbid, but if you think about that and you actually look at cultures around the world, ghost marriages is not as uncommon as you would think. It's big in China, of course, totally huge. It's like, that's where it probably originated from. But it can also be found in France, Japan, South Sudan, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia. In fact, we are still practicing all this today. We just don't talk about it on mainstream news, that's all.
Yeah. What does make mainstream news, though, sometimes is the crimes that are associated with ghost weddings, right? But before we actually get into that, I did come across one of the reasons why this whole ghost marriage thing is practiced is because back in the day, it was almost shameful if you came from a good family and you passed away without getting married.
To appreciate Chinese ghost wedding, you need to understand the Chinese culture and the importance of family. And this culture of ghost wedding harkens back to as far as 221 BC, even the first Chinese dynasty. The first recorded ghost marriage was, I believe, from Cao Cao. Cao Cao's son, Cao Chong, he passed away when he was 13, and they have a ghost wedding for him. Deceased son married a living woman. But because the idea of Chinese family and ancestral line is so strong, that if a woman who's single died unmarried, right? You will not have a tablet in anybody's house, not in your own family's house, because you're not married, you're not on it, on your husband's altar. You are relegated to a piece of paper by your door. Right? So the idea is that your spirit won't get any
recognition in the afterlife.
Correct. And as the male part of the family, if you're male and you die, what happens is there's a belief that spirits who die without a wife in life will not have anyone to take care of his spirit in death.
Yeah.
Right? So they will marry someone to him in hopes that there will be a spiritual equivalent in the underworld to take care of the son.
Once again, remember, some of these practices have been going on for like 3,000 years or something like that, right? When it involves two dead people, the bride's family demands a bride price, and there's even a dowry, which includes jewelry, servants, and a mansion, all in the form of paper tributes or effigies, right? And then the families will hire feng shui masters to work as the matchmaker. And then, eventually, they will dig up the bones of the bride and put them inside the groom's grave.
Yeah, that's important, because they must be side by side.
And obviously, we know it's still being practiced because crimes get reported every now and again. Like, for instance, police in Northwest China recently charged a man with murdering two women with mental disabilities, alleging that this guy wanted to sell their corpses to be used in ghost weddings. And for years, there have been reports of grave robberies to meet the demands for the remains of women, right? In 2015, it was reported that 14 female corpses were stolen in one village in Shaanxi province. And of course, this is once again tied into tomb raiders. And over the years, the price of the corpse or the bones of a young woman has actually risen very, very sharply. In fact, they say these days we're looking at like $20,000 for one female corpse.
Wow.
Yeah. And the reasons the prices vary from place to place, because in some districts of China, like Shaanxi, there are large numbers of young, unmarried men working in coal mining where fatalities are high. So because of this discrepancy in gender ratio, that's why the price of ghost brides are so high.
And there are also instances where people cannot afford to pay the 20 grand. What you just mentioned is predominantly a very Chinese culture, mostly in the rural side of China. In Japan, they don't dig up the bones and bring the physical remains of the deceased to their new grave. What they do is they have a doll. You know those Japanese kabuki dolls? Very lifelike. Okay. So they use that and they would invite the spirit of the deceased to possess the doll. And then they would get the doll and the living partner into a wedding ceremony, and they would marry them together.
Wow.
So the living would keep the doll at home, and that would be the bride or the groom, the spouse.
Now, supposing you are the living spouse of a ghost, do you have to stay faithful to your dead spouse?
Good question. In the Chinese culture, the woman, the living woman, once she accepts the ghost marriage, she is supposed to be celibate. She's not allowed to take any more lovers in life. But for the man, there's no such rule. You can get married to a female spirit, but you're free to plant your seeds around. In Sudan, it's different. Sudan, when you are involved in a ghost marriage, the deceased, like say, is the living woman, right? And the man is deceased. His brother or someone would take his place to have sex with a woman, and the child that she produces would belong to the deceased, not to the man who impregnated her.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay, here's something interesting. In Taiwan, if an unmarried woman passes away, her family may place red packets with cash, paper money, a lock of hair, and a fingernail, and they'll put these red packets out in the open and wait for men to pick them up. Now, the first guy to pick up the packet is chosen as the groom, and it's believed to be bad luck if he refuses to marry the ghost bride. So it's almost like bait, you know what I mean? Haha, guess what? You're engaged. The wedding rituals are similar, but unlike in mainland China, no bones are dug up. The groom is often allowed to marry a living woman later, but his dead wife should be revered as the primary wife.
Yeah, when I first heard about that, I couldn't stop myself from laughing. You literally set a trap. So any man who touches, you know, the trap, like the fingernails or the packets, right?
Yeah.
Automatically becomes the groom. So what do they do? Do the family hide behind a bush and wait for someone to touch it? And then they jump out and go like, aha, you're the groom.
And once again, this is a reminder to everyone, especially during this CNY period, right? If you see a red packet, an ang pao on the ground, don't anyhow go and pick it up, okay? Because instead of finding money, you may find yourself married. All right, so let's run through a few stories that I came across as well. This one I actually found online, okay? So I'm not sure where it took place, when it took place, or to whom it took place, all right? It goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a girl who caught the attention of a male spirit, and he fell madly in love with her. Now he followed her home, and he visited her dreams every night. Now, in her dreams, he was very persistent, and he continued to court her. Now, the girl, as you can imagine, was very scared. She was frightened, and she couldn't understand why she would see the same man every time she went to sleep. Now, she told her sisters, but no one would believe her, so she had no choice but to go to bed each night and dream of this strange man. Now, with every night that passed, and every dream she had, he became less of a stranger. And before long, she started to develop feelings for him too. Now, they courted just as any couple would in the waking world, and time would go by. And before you knew it, she started to look forward to going to sleep and meeting the man in her dreams. And then one morning, the girl was found dead in her sleep. The coroner's report put it to unnatural death because she was only in her mid-20s and she was still in perfect health. Now, wake was held. And while her family was upset, no one really thought anything more to her passing, right? And then 1 week later, she appeared in the dreams of her parents almost every night for that week. She told them she was leading a happy and satisfied life with her new lover in the other world, and she had agreed to his marriage proposal. She explained that, you know, in her dreams, you know, he would ask her, he would propose. And then one day she finally said yes. And he urged her to come along with him, leaving the mortal world for the spiritual realm so they could be together. Now, in her parents' dreams, she gave specific instructions to find her husband's family and arrange a ceremony. Now, she gave them his full name and his address. And when the parents woke up, they actually went out to look for his family and they found him. And here's what was very weird. The dude's parents were not even surprised to see them. In fact, they welcomed them wholeheartedly. Apparently, the male ghost had appeared to his family a long time ago and told them that he had met a mortal whom he was crazy in love with. Now, his family wasn't given much details, so they just waited for the girl's family to show up. And with that, the two families agreed to their children's death marriage. After everything was over, the girl once again appeared in her parents' dreams. She said she was contented and happy, thanked them, bade them farewell, and said she was going to live with her husband in the other world. And of course, her parents were also very happy because their daughter had found someone she loved and got married even though she was no longer alive.
What I love about all these ghost marriage stories, most of them ends in a happy ending.
You've heard of variations of this story, haven't you?
Yeah. This is actually a very common trope in ghost marriages. There's one story I like to share with you. I was thinking of sharing it with you at the end of this podcast, but I think I can do it now since it's connected to the story you just told me. I had the privilege of sitting down with my parents this evening, and we were talking about ghost marriages because I knew my parents grew up in a kampong area, and in a kampong area, especially in parts of Malaysia, rituals like this is very common. At least this was what I remember hearing growing up. So I called them up again. I sat with them and said, hey, you know, mom, dad, remember the last time you told me about this you know, ghost marriage. Could you tell me about it again? Hmm. And they said, yeah, almost like matter-of-factly, you know. It's not like they were like, oh, yes, sit down, son. I'm going to tell you about this ritual. No, it's like, oh, yes, I remember this neighbor and that neighbor. They had ghost marriages where the son would pass away in a motorbike accident. They would come to the parents in a dream. But before they even realized that he wanted to get married, they would find that the whole house very sway. You know, a lot of things won't go right. Father will fall down, hurt his leg. Mother will get sick. Mm. Then they realize that, you know, the village elder would say, hey, something is not right. Maybe your son is trying to tell you something. So the village elder would come down, have a ritual. And then that night, the mom had a dream that the son said, I want to marry this girl from this other village.
Okay.
Right? So they would travel. And back in those rural areas, it's not very common for them to travel from one village to another. Anything that you need is all around the area already. Hmm. So they travel through the plantation, go to the other village, find that particular girl that the son was talking about, and says, my son wants to get married to your daughter. And of course, the girl was like too young to make her own decision, or perhaps in that era, daughters don't really get to decide how they want to get married or not. Mm. So I believe there must be some exchange of dowry, and eventually the girl did come down to the village where the deceased is. They have a wedding ceremony. The man would be represented by a white cock.
A white what?
A white cock. White rooster.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. They would have a whole wedding ceremony. The whole kampong would be invited as if it was a real wedding.
Mm,
okay. And no one felt it was odd. My mom and dad, they're probably very young at the point in time. So they enjoyed all this. And then there's a wedding, there's a party, the ceremony. It's good, they enjoy it. But they were always curious why the woman would be standing there with a white rooster. As they grow up, they realize that, hey, they've seen this a couple of times, you know, with different families, and they begin to realize, oh, it's called a ghost marriage.
Okay, right. Obviously, it goes without saying there was no way for them to consummate the marriage, right?
No. So the girl would have to be celibate for all her life.
Okay, all right. And what would happen to the rooster, by the way?
Sacrifice, beheaded, and then it just represents the man, you kill it, you let his soul free. And then not sure what happened. Maybe it might even cook it. I don't know.
Oh, so after the wedding, the cock is pretty much useless.
Yeah.
Actually, that sounds like a normal marriage to me.
I remember one more thing my mom said as well. The groom, if they have a younger brother or a cousin, one of the child would be given to this lady as the token son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if I'm the brother and I have like my second born or third born, I'm supposed to give my second or third born to this lady, my brother's wife, and to pass my kid off as his son.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's one way of carrying on the bloodline since he is the brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow. Your parents certainly grew up in interesting times, huh? All right. We got one here, which is not really a hantu story, but it is ghost bride related. And it happened actually here in Singapore a few years ago. So there was a 25-year-old Vietnamese lady. Well, she was 25 years old at the time, who nearly drowned when her married boyfriend dragged her into the sea. That all happened because she was dating this 35-year-old China national, right? And they wanted to be together. Unfortunately, at the time, he was married and his wife in China would not agree to a divorce. This Vietnamese lady by the name of Miss Dang, she also did not want to carry on a relationship with a man who was married, right? So they were in a bit of a predicament. In fact, she refused to cohabitate with him as long as he was married. So somehow they decided the best way to be together is to commit suicide so they could be together in the next life. They planned to go to the sea over at East Coast and drown themselves. The problem was, when they were actually out in the water, she had a change of heart. She was struggling to get to the surface, and according to her, he was hugging her very tightly at first, but when she resisted and she tried to break free, that's when he let her go. So as it turned out, the only one who drowned that night was him. She survived. So after that fiasco, she went on record to say that she still wanted to be with him. And so what she would do is, now that he was dead, she was going to arrange for a ghost marriage. She still loved him, and she even said she would not want to marry anyone else, and she'd still go through the process even if her parents objected. She claimed that after the incident, she's had trouble sleeping. Whenever she drifts off, she dreams of him trying to lift her in his arms. So yeah, this was just a few years ago, proving that once again, the whole practice of ghost marriage is still very alive and well.
Yeah.
All right, while we're on the topic of ghost marriages, well, here's another interesting story that I came across, not so much on a ghost marriage, but more on a marriage that kind of involved ghosts. In 2006 here in Singapore, came across this article in the newspaper of all places, okay? The headline reads, "My husband used supernatural means to get me to divorce him."
Hmm.
All right, so this is not the start of the marriage. This is towards the end of the marriage. At the time, she was 45 years old. This Madam Tan told the court that her husband had unleashed a spirit at her in hopes of getting her to divorce him. Now, Madam Tan believed her husband and his lover were trying to do this because they couldn't find a good reason for the divorce. So they were trying to get her to initiate the divorce, right? Madam Tan was so sure that this was the case, she wanted to gather scientific evidence of this alleged haunting so that she could produce this to court. And she actually called on the Singapore Paranormal Investigators, SPI, for help. And of course, our buddy ET used to be with the SPI, right?
Mm.
Unfortunately for her, the guys from SPI could not detect any spirits or haunting in the flat.
Mm.
Have you ever heard about stuff like that? A husband or a wife would unleash a spirit on each other. You hear these people doing this to their enemies.
You'll be surprised, Tim. You know, some husband and wives hate their spouse more than they hate other enemies. It's true.
Yeah.
There's one story at Bedok Reservoir. This is not about ghost marriage, but just a quick annotation into this, what you just mentioned.
Mm.
Block 625, I think, Bedok Reservoir Road. It's
yeah.
a circular market area. I was living in 627, so, you know, this is broken Chinese telephone, right? You hear from word of mouth from the aunties and all.
Mm.
So, husband was having an affair. The wife wanted to divorce him and, you know, basically like make bankrupt him and stuff. So he went into black magic, went to get help from, you know, the black magic side of things to put a curse on her for her to die.
Mm.
And of course, she died, right? I'm not sure how she died, but she died. There was a funeral, big hoo-ha, because the girl's family buried her in red gown.
And what does that signify?
The Chinese superstition belief is when you bury the dead in red, they will come back as a vengeful spirit. So word around the neighborhood was the man was not faithful to her and then killed her with black magic. And now the family wants her to take revenge.
Wow.
So I'm not sure what happened to the guy, because shortly after the whole funeral and shebang, he moved out, he sold the house.
Okay. Because usually when you say vengeful spirit, I'm thinking Pontianas, right? And those are usually seen in white, not red.
You have to bury them in red first.
Ah, okay. But following up on that story that I gave earlier on about that woman who believed her husband was trying to send a hantu after her and she tried to go to court. Now, do you think it's possible to use supernatural elements in a court of law? Well, apparently over in the US it is. One woman, she cited supernatural causes against her landlord, went to court, and she actually won. Now, this tenant broke her lease. She claimed to have spooky encounters in this house. She said the doors and the windows opened on their own. She heard footsteps on the second floor at night, even though she was the only one in the house. And one night, she even found a pair of scissors embedded in the floor. Now, she moved out, and she demanded her security deposit from the landlord. And when he refused, she took him to court. Now, she even showed them pictures of foggy shapes in the room and the testimony of two Ghostbusters who had investigated the house. And then the judge ruled in her favor.
Oh.
Right? I didn't even know that, you know, Ghostbusters or supernatural practitioners would have any credibility in a court of law.
How come we didn't get called up for this?
Exactly. I don't know whether or not something like that would fly in Singapore, but, you know, I guess depending on where you are in the world, some courts can be more open-minded than others.
Yeah. There's one more as recent as August
28,
2019. Mm. Another ghost marriage story.
Okay.
The couple had already planned to walk down the aisle together, but in a cruel twist of fate, the lady got into an accident and she died. So the groom-to-be was actually overseas, and he only got the news of her death on social media. So he immediately flew back to the funeral, complete with a ring, flowers, and a heart-rending song dedication to her.
Mm.
So it was a funeral, but at the same time, he proposed to, obviously, her spirit or her soul at a funeral and dedicate his life to her. So that's as recent as 2019. So,
and where was this?
In Singapore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So when we talk about ghost marriage and we look at you know, the Netflix show and we think, hey, you know, it can't be like, you know, we're so modern, but actually this story is still very recent.
Okay. All right. Well, if you find yourself in a wedding, ghost wedding or not, I'm very confident at least you will certainly have better makeup on than the actors in the Netflix series The Ghost Bride. Poor thing, I tell you. I'm sure they put in so much work into the show. Can I slam right, left, center from us?
I'm so tempted to do our own show. But okay, before we end off, there's one funny story I want to share. Mm. This is not in Singapore. But just to show that ghost wedding happens anywhere in the world, regardless whether it's Asian or Caucasian, this one is quite crazy. In fact, it popped into my mailbox a long time ago. This was July 14, 2019, just last year, right? There's an Amanda Large Tate.
Sorry, a what? Amanda Large Tate, what?
Yeah, she has Large Tate too, lah. But Amanda is her first name, Large, L-A-R-G-E, her okay. middle name. And a surname, T-E-A-G-U-E, which is pronounced as Tig. She got married to a ghost of a 300-year-old Haitian pirate.
Wow.
Who goes by the name of Jack Tague. T-E-A-G-U-E.
Tigla. Ayo.
Did I say Tig? Tig.
You said Tigla. That's why I was thinking Tig, but Tigla. Okay, all right.
Okay. So she said that after speaking to the spirit so many times, at first she was meditating, he came to her, she's like, go away, go away. But after a while, they had full on conversation and she decided that she's actually in love with him. Wow. So she got married and she took on his surname.
Okay, which proves that ghosts are way more persuasive in finding love than us human mortal men.
You know, we look at all these divorce cases in real life, then you hear people happily married after life. Maybe that is the secret to happiness.
Well, how are you going to compete with a ghost, right? All right, and with that, we're reaching the end of this latest episode. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, despite the fact that we are learning a little bit more about the practice of ghost marriages and ghost brides, a lot of this is still very, very hush-hush. So we may not have as much information as we would like to have as well. Should you have any stories or any encounters or any bits of information regarding this practice, we would love to hear from you as well. And of course, a few ways for you to reach us.
The easiest way really is to send it to supernaturalconfessions.com. Once you go to the page, the very first line on top, it says submit your story here. You know, you don't have to scroll anywhere. So that's the best way to submit your story to us. Of course, if you're you know, more onto the Facebook side of things and you prefer to contact us through Facebook, you can private message us or leave us a message on our Facebook page and we'll reply to you almost immediately.
And of course, if you would like to help us, we only have one favor for you, and that is to help us spread the word and help Supernatural Confessions grow. Okay, on any podcast platform that you're listening to us from, if you can rate us, please rate us highly. And of course, tell your friends about Supernatural Confessions as well. The bigger a network we can create, the better a resource we can gain our material from too.
In fact, when you're listening to this right now, just share it. Click the share button and share it with all your friends.
All right. So until our next episode, my name is Tim O.
And I'm Eugene Tay, and you're listening to
Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions.